بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the series of the diseases of the hearts, and we are learning about envy. And the title of the class is Medicines for the Envious Heart. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about envy and how it is a great loss for the envious person in this life and in the hereafter. So you may ask me a question, Sister Mona, how envy is a real loss for the envious person. I will tell you, because number one, envy is one of the worst of the heart diseases. Why? Because it destroys the good deeds, the way fire destroys the wood. Okay? And also it is a major sin. Number two, envy is the desire to have the blessings removed from the one who is envied, and this is a form of oppression and transgression. Number three, envy is dangerous upon you in your worldly life, as you will be always in sorrow, all the time, when you see the blessings of Allah on the envied person. Number four, envy is dangerous upon you for your religion, because the envious hated Allah's justice that he established in the world, as he hated Allah's decree and is objecting the distributions of Allah's blessings. He is always under the impression that I was supposed to be the one to receive these blessings, not that person. So this means that the distribution of the blessings are not fair. So I am not happy with Allah's decree. This is again is the belief in Allah. This is a great sin, you know, and this actually will make the envious to follow shaitan, okay, Iblis, regarding the love for the crisis to fall on the believers. You know, there are many people whom they are very happy when the blessings are lost by the Muslims, okay, and this actually means crisis to fall on the believers, and also for their blessings to be away from them. And this is the reality of Shaitan, Satan, because he is the open enemy to mankind. Envy leads to pride, hatred, transgressions, backbiting, and suspicions. All these evils that cause Allah's punishment and will make the hellfire the final destination. Also, envy makes the people to hate you and avoid you because you are a source of troubles for them. Whenever someone is known that he has an envious heart, everyone will hate to communicate with that person, you know, because that person is always causing troubles for me in my life. In conclusion, the envious is a true loser in this worldly life and in the life to come. Today, inshallah, we will learn the medicines for the envious heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two things cannot be gathered in the heart of a believer, faith and envy. It means that in the presence of envy, faith, iman, religion must leave. Both of them cannot be. So we must clarify to ourselves that I must try by all the means to use all the medicines to get rid of envy so that I can keep my heart full of faith. Okay? And I can keep my heart away from that disease. The question will be, how I can keep my heart full of faith and so that envy will not have place in my heart? These are the medicines of envy. Number one, the realization of the reality of the worldly life and its enjoyments. Actually, last week, sisters, we learned that the most important cause of envy is the great love for the worldly life and the competition for its enjoyments. So in order to have a heart full of pure faith, we must realize the reality of the worldly life, and that, you know, in the scale of Allah, the worldly life has no significance. Number two, we must learn that the competition for the worldly life is the real loss. I will prove all of this now by the verses of the Quran. Number three, we must learn also that there is another competition which the true believers must compete for. So inshallah we will learn all these rules in detail through the verses of the Quran. But at the beginning, let us learn that the worldly life enjoyments are of no significance before Allah, in the sight of Allah. Now we will read from Surah number 43, we will read from verse 33 and 34 and 35, so that inshallah we will learn that the worldly life enjoyments are of no significance before Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walawla an yakuna an-nasu ummatan wahidatan لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج عليها يظهرون ولبيوتهم أبوابا وسررا عليها يتكئون وزخرفا. صدق الله العظيم.
And were it not that mankind would have become one community, all disbelievers desiring worldly life only, we would have provided for those who disbelieve in gracious subhanahu wa ta'ala civil roofs for their houses and elevators whereby they accede, and for their houses doors of silver and thrones of silver on which they could recline, and adornments of gold.
Okay, thank you. Actually, sister, this verse of the Quran, he actually taught to all the Muslims, and they must remember it all the time. These three verses of the Quran is the clear proof of the fact that earthly values are so insignificant that had Allah so willed, He would have given them in plenty to those who disbelieve in Him. What is the meaning of this, sisters? Allah, the Almighty, is giving us the proof that these worldly enjoyments, which every one of us is after them, actually they are of no significance in the sight of Allah. And the proof is that Allah would have given them in plenty to all the disbelievers. Okay? Allah would have given them to all the in plenty to all the disbelievers, okay, except for one reason. What is the reason why Allah didn't give all the worldly enjoyments in plenty to all the disbelievers? Because all the people on the earth will be a community of disbelievers. Everyone will disbelieve in Allah. You see how all the people are after the worldly enjoyments. Allah knows our reality. So Allah is proving to us that He can give all these enjoyments, you know, the best car, the best houses, the best clothes, best furniture to the disbelievers. Why, Allah, you are giving them everything? Because they are of no significance in the sight of Allah. So, oh Allah, if they are of no significance, why you are not giving them in plenty to all the disbelievers? Because unfortunately, none will be a believer on the earth. All the human beings will be after the worldly enjoyments. And so long they are given to the disbelievers, so all the people will become disbelievers. You see, sisters, how Allah knows that the human beings are after the worldly enjoyments by any means, even if I lose my belief in Allah, but most of the human beings, because of their weak belief in Allah, because they are not clear about the reward for their belief, most of them will be disbelievers for the sake of the worldly enjoyment. This is the meaning of these verses of the Quran. Then Allah in these verses of the Quran is clarifying how He can give those disbelievers the plenty of enjoyments in the form of what He would have given them, homes with roofs of silver. Can you imagine that the roof of all your house will be made of silver? And staircases made of gold. You see, if we try to think it over, we will tell him, oh Allah, nowadays gold is very expensive. If I have a staircase made of gold, I will sell my staircase. That I will have the money. Then I will have a staircase made of rocks. No. Allah will give all the people on the earth, so long that they declare, I am a disbeliever, Allah will give them, you know, houses with roofs of silver, staircases of gold. He would also have given them huge houses with many doors, you know, like palace. Every disbeliever will have a very big palace, and this palace will be actually having big doors, okay? And Allah will make them, will give them many couches to recline up, and also Allah will give them gold as a decor. This means that the houses of the disbelievers will be made mainly of silver and gold. What is the proof of the, what is the meaning of this? This means that silver and gold are of no significance in the sight of Allah, because He would have given them to those whom they declare that there is no God. When someone will say there is no God, Allah will give him the house of gold and silver. You see, sisters, so we must try, you know, to think it over. We must try to take our time to evaluate the reality of the worldly life, you know, correctly, so that we will not deceive ourselves. When I recite these three verses of the Quran, I must remind myself, remember these verses of the Quran. Try to understand, try to realize that these worldly enjoyments, which most of the people actually are, you know, spending all their life or wasting all their effort to, from 7 o'clock in the morning until they sleep at night, trying to get the best of the best and leave the competition of the worldly life and the race of the worldly life for the sake of what? For the sake of gold and silver. Unfortunately, they can have the gold and silver if they are disbelievers, because this is of no significance in the sight of Allah. So, actually, we must realize that giving all these enjoyments in plenty to the disbelievers show how these items are of no significance on Allah's scale. It is all not more than transient enjoyment that lasts no more than this worldly life. You cannot take anything with you, and we can die at any minute. You know? Actually, yes.
It makes me think of people in the Gulf states who a lot of them are well-to-do.
Yes.
They're supposedly true believers, good believers.
Yes.
But they have a lot, you know, there's a lot of wealth there.
Oh,
just,
yes.
Made me think of them. I hope they're still true believers with all the money and stuff.
This is the issue. You know, to tell you the truth, only Allah knows who are the true believers. You know, true belief is not a word. True belief is not a dress. True belief is not an action. True belief is a heart which is believing in Allah. And no one knows the reality of the heart except Allah. You see? So actually, again, Allah is proving to us that He is not giving the disbelievers all these enjoyments. Otherwise, all the people would become one community of disbelievers. So, in conclusion, the competition for these worldly enjoyments is a true loss, as this life is of no significance before Allah. Its attractions is based on illusions that make people overlook reality. It ends in a moment. We must always realize that this life is not an eternal one. This life can end in a moment which we never expect. And at that moment, we will lose all the enjoyments. And we will move to Allah. having only with us our good deeds, which we forget completely because we were in the competition for the worldly enjoyments only. Actually, we must always believe in the second fact, which is the second fact, why Allah made this worldly enjoyment insignificant. Why? Okay? The answer is in Surah number 57, verse number 20. Why the worldly enjoyments are of no significance, sisters? You will learn now, so that when you realize that worldly enjoyments are of no significance in the sight of Allah, at that time you must try to compete for something which is more important, for something which is lasting, for something which is true, for something which you have its benefit in this life and in the life to come. We will read now from Surah number 57, verse number 20. الله الرحمن الرحيم أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
Know that the life of this world is only play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. It is as the likeness of vegetation after rain. Thereof the growth is pleasing to the tillers. Afterward it dries up and you see it turning yellow. Then it becomes straw. But in the hereafter there is a severe torment for the disbelievers, the evildoers, and there is forgiveness from Allah and His good pleasure for the believers, the good doers, and the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment.
So actually, sisters, Allah is teaching us the rule regarding this worldly life. The life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. Okay, what is the proof for this? Actually, sisters, the proof of this is that most of the people are under the impression that I am in this worldly life for the sake of fun, for the sake of enjoyments, showing off. I must have big house, I must have the best car, I must have the best clothes, I must have the best qualification, and I study in the best university, and I must have a lot of wealth and career. This is the worldly life for most of the people. Okay, as Allah is mentioning. Okay, Allah is mentioning that people think that the worldly life is play, mutual boasting, pomp, and all of this, as I clarify it to you. Okay? Actually, sisters, this is their goal behind all the hard work and preoccupation. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, when you ask me, Sister Mona, why you and your husband are working from day to night, for the sake of what? I tell you, for the sake of having the best car, the best house, for the sake of having the bank account, for the sake that I can send my daughter to Harvard University, for the sake of that my daughter will marry a very good man. Yes, we are working day and night. We are wasting all our time and effort for the sake of the worldly enjoyment. This is our goal from this worldly life. These are the worldly life enjoyments which we compete for and envy each other for them. As we are learning about envy, okay, this is the cause of envy between the people. The race for the worldly enjoyment. Okay, we all forget that this life must come to an end at a moment. And at that moment, we will leave everything behind us and start our journey to the life to come. And at that life, there is terrible suffering for those who compete only for the worldly life enjoyments. You know, sister, this is the problem, you know, of most of the Muslims. You know, I don't discuss the non-Muslims because, you know, we discuss, you know, our belief in Allah, we discuss our Islam, so this is our focus. Okay, most of the people, most of the Muslims, when they are not close to the Holy Quran, when they don't remind themselves all the time regarding the reality of the worldly life, unfortunately, they become so busy with its enjoyments. So, when you tell me, Sister Mona, did you pray Fajr prayer today? I tell you, no, I am very sorry, I didn't pray it. Because I slept at 12 midnight. You told me why you slept at 12 midnight? I told you because I returned from work around 6 o'clock. Then I started to take care of my house and my kids. And I was running, you know, until 12 midnight. I just prayed Aisha prayer very quickly. I was confused. I was not awake 100%. But I tried to pray Maghrib and Aisha as I can, but it was impossible for me to wake up at 6 o'clock or 6:30, even 7. I wake up at 7:30 so that I can be in my work at 8 o'clock. You see? So the most important goal for me when I wake up is not to pray Fajr prayer. The most important goal for me is to be at work at time. Otherwise, I will be in problem in my work. So this is a proof that what is the priority for me, Fajr prayer or my work. Okay, then when I am at work, it is not easy for me to pray. There is no place, so I always postpone Dhuhr prayer and Asr prayer until I go home. When I go home, I try. You know, when I go home, I always realize that I lost already Dhuhr prayer. I am about to lose Asr prayer, so I pray very quick. Okay, then I become very busy with my responsibilities. Then I also pray Maghrib and Aisha while I am very exhausted. You see, sisters, this is the race of the worldly life. Then you tell me, Sister Mona, are you a true believer? I tell you, yes, sister, of course. I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah. But you tell me, Sister Mona, but prayer is the most important act for the believer. I tell you, yes, I am trying my best. No, sister. This is not the true belief in Allah. The true belief in Allah is to have the prayer as the highest priority. When you wake up in the morning, you wake up for the sake of Fajr prayer. Because this is my highest priority. If I want to wake up for Fajr prayer, I must sleep a little bit early. So that when I wake up for Fajr prayer, I feel and I live the Fajr prayer. Not only to wake up for Fajr prayer, semi-sleeping, semi-conscious, just to recite the verses of the Quran, okay, without feeling any meaning, and then sleep again quickly and say, all praise to Allah, I prayed Fajr prayer. This is the deceiving of the Muslims for themselves. This is not accepted from Allah. The meeting with Allah is while I am semi-conscious, semi-sleeping, very busy, okay, or, you know, not in a good shape. But the meeting with the people or at work or for the sake of buying the best of the best, I will be in a good shape. I will try to concentrate. I will have all my mind in, okay, because this is very important for me. Last week when I went to buy a car, I was trying to know everything about the car for 3 weeks. Day and night, yes, because this is very important for me. So during these 3 weeks, you were also having the same attention for your prayers, for your relation with Allah, for your Quran, for your manners, for your responsibilities. Never, ever. No. Then you ask me, Sister Mona, your car was good. So why you were after having a new car? I tell you, sister, because my neighbor, she had a new car. Better than my car, so I can't. This causes for me a lot of troubles every day when I am in my way to my work and I look and I see the car of my neighbor. I feel fire in my heart, so I must have a better car. You tell me, but Sister Mona, when you miss Fajr prayer, you didn't have any feeling in your heart. I tell you, you know, Allah is the most merciful. Inshallah, one day I will pray. You know, when I will have the new car, I will be in a good mood. Inshallah, I will pray Fajr prayer. Sisters, people or Muslims, this mentality are under the impression that they can deceive Allah. They don't know that Allah is the one deceiving them. Because Allah knows their reality. So Allah is making them to be busy all the time. so that they will prove the reality to him. Then everything will be recorded for them. Then on the day of judgment, Allah will call them, why you were not praying Fajr prayer at time? Why when you wake up you are not concentrating, you are having full conscious? Okay? When they will say, oh Allah, I am very sorry, I was trying my best, but because so and so, they will never say the truth. On the day of judgment, it is known that people will never say the truth. You know what Allah will do for them on the day of judgment? Allah will make the scene of that person while she was looking to the car of her neighbor to come down in front of everyone, from Prophet Adam until the day of judgment, and her neighbor is there. Allah will tell her, this is your reality. Answer, respond to that scene. This is the reality or not? So you see, sister, this is the reality of our worldly life. We are in a test. And Allah, out of His wisdom and knowledge, Allah made the enjoyments of this worldly life part of the test. So if I am a true believer that this worldly life is a test, I will not waste all my life for transient enjoyments, which I must leave at any moment. Maybe while I am writing the contract for the new car, I will have heart attack. And I will die, you know, at the car with the car dealer, at the car shop, you know. And nobody will get this car. Maybe my daughter or my son will have it, or my husband or anyone else. I didn't have the car. I lost 3 weeks. My heart was full of envy regarding, you know, my neighbor. I didn't pray well. I didn't remember Allah. What will be my destination? You know, sisters. So, actually, in reality, most of the people try to live this life as a journey of fun, play and enjoyment. Accordingly, it is their highest priority to own the best of everything and to enjoy every minute of their life. When you tell to most of the sisters try to sleep early so that you can wake up for Fajr prayer, especially when Fajr prayer very soon will be at 5:30 or 4:30. They will tell you, no, Sister Mona, we want to enjoy the television at night. No, Sister Mona, we want to go out at night. We cannot waste our life to sleep early so that we will wake up for Fajr prayer. No, we like to enjoy every minute of our worldly life. Okay? You cannot enjoy every minute of your worldly life, okay, through fun and enjoyments, okay? And you will have the eternal happiness in paradise. You cannot have both of them. You have to choose, okay? And again and again, sisters, if you choose, okay, to live for obeying Allah, okay, and not part of the rest of the worldly life, you will be the most happy person on the earth. Why? Because you will get yourself out of the race. When someone come and tell me, today I buy the best car, I tell her, may Allah bless you and your car. So she tell me, what about your car, Sister Mona? 10 years ago you have it. I tell her, yes, I am so thankful. I am so thankful for my car. I can use it to go to all the places. My car is not my goal in this worldly life. My car is a way or a source for me to do my good deeds, to come to the masjid, to take my daughter to the school, to go to the doctor. My car is not a goal. My home is not a goal, because they are not eternal. I will not have my car with me, in my grave. I will not have my house in my pocket. I will not have all my bank account with me and hide it, you know, in my clothes, when they will put me down. No, I will leave everything. So they are not supposed to be goals. They are supposed to be, you know, meanings or ways, you know, to attain the goal, the main goal. What is the main goal? The main goal is to do as more as I can of the good deeds. Because when I leave this world, I will leave everything. But I will have with me only one thing, my good deeds. This is the only thing which will accompany me after this life will end, and it may end now. So I must be ready every moment that if I will live life now, I have my good deeds with me, all praise to Allah, and inshallah my good deeds will be my way to the eternal happiness. Eternal happiness which none of the human beings can believe. And this is also part of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about the paradise in many verses of chapter 30 in the Quran, the last chapter. But Allah didn't clarify in reality how the paradise is very, very, very special, because none can imagine anything of the paradise, because everyone must prove his reality to Allah. I am obeying Allah for the sake of obeying Allah, because I am a slave and Allah is the Lord, so I must obey Him. And when I obey Allah, the Almighty, I will follow His rules. When I will follow His rules, Allah will shower me with His mercy. Even if I am poor, even if I am sick, even if I am alone, still Allah would shower me with His mercy, because Allah is the source of all the mercy. And Allah can give this worldly life in silver and gold to all the human beings if they are disbelievers. But Allah will never shower them with His mercy. And Allah's mercy is the greatest blessing in this worldly life. If I am sick, okay, if there are two people to whom they are sick, two Muslims, one of them is the true believer in Allah and the other one is not. The true believer in Allah, Allah will shower him with His mercy all the time. He will have hope. When you tell him you are sick, all praise to Allah, I am patient. I am getting the reward of patience. I am looking for Allah's mercy. I am sure that Allah make me sick now because Allah wants me not to do bad things. Maybe if I have my health, okay, I will, you know, forget about the prayers and I will be a transgressor. You know, maybe I will do bad things. So it is out of His mercy and out of His wisdom, He made me to be not in a good health now so that I will not be doing things which may harm me. This is how the true believer accepts all the decree of Allah, even the sickness, poverty and loneliness. But most of the people whom they are in the race of the worldly life, when there is anything to block them from running in the race of the worldly life, they will be very upset. When someone will be sick, oh Allah, why I am sick now? I will not go to the work. I will lose 3 days. I will lose, you know, part of my salary. This will cause for me a lot of troubles. Oh Allah, why? This is all the time, oh Allah, why? But there is never appreciating of the blessings. They are never thankful of Allah. They are never having time to reevaluate the reality of the worldly life. Every day you hear about people whom they die suddenly. But none try to think that maybe I am the next one. Maybe I will be the one to die after 5 minutes. No, no. If you tell this to the people, they tell me, "You, no, Sister Mona, don't discuss about death." We become very upset. So if you are upset regarding this, you will not die. You will not prevent death. Are you ready for death or not? Are you a believer that there is a grave? Are you a believer that there is hell and fire, hell and paradise? Or you are not a true believer in the oneness of Allah? In reality, you are not a true believer. This is the problem. You see? So this is, sisters, how we have to evaluate our worldly life, so that when envy will come to my heart, I say, no, no, I'm very sorry. I don't have place for envy in my heart. My heart is full of the true belief in Allah. I know the reality of the worldly life, the enjoyments of the worldly life. I know the life to come. I know the terrible punishment in the life to come. I have mind, I have heart, I have the Quran. I have another race where I am living that race, not the race of the worldly enjoyment. So actually, we must always realize that most of the people consider this worldly life a race where they must try all the means to win all its enjoyments. They forget that this life is a test and the reward is in the eternal paradise. Actually, sisters, most of the people are envious, ignorant, and true losers, as they don't know the reality of the world life and that this worldly life is of no significance in the sight of Allah. Let us learn a story from the Quran regarding the richest man ever mentioned in the Quran, who was envied by most of the people around him for his greatest wealth, and let us learn his end, which is the proof of the reality of the transient worldly life and its fleeting enjoyments. We will read from Surah number 28, we will read from 76 to 82, to have the proof that even if you are the richest person in the world, you will end in like dust, and you will not have any of the worldly enjoyments like you. So let us wake up now, not before it is too late. We will read now from Surah number 28, verse 76 to 82. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim وآتيناهُ من الكنوز ما إن مفاتحه لتنوء بالعصبة أولي القوة إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون فخسفنا به وبداره الأرض فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر لولا أن من الله علينا لخسف بنا ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون. From 76 to 82.
Go ahead. Verily, Korah was of Moses' people, but he behaved arrogantly towards them, and we gave him of the treasures that of which the keys would have been a burden to a body of strong men. Remember when his people said to him, "Do not exult with riches, being ungrateful to Allah." Verily, Allah likes not those who exult with riches, being ungrateful to Allah. But seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter, and forget not your portion of lawful enjoyment in this world, and do good as Allah has been good to you, and seek not mischief in the land. Verily, Allah likes not the mufsidun, those who commit great crimes and sins, oppressors, tyrants, mischief makers, corruptors. He said, "This has been given to me only because of the knowledge I possess. Did he not know that Allah has destroyed before him generations, men who were stronger than him in might and greater in the amount of riches they had collected? But the mushrimun, criminals, disbelievers, polytheists, sinners, will not be questioned of their sins because Allah knows them well, so they will be punished without being called to account." So he went forth before his people in his pomp. Those who were desirous of the life of the world said, "Ah, would that we had the like of what Korah has been given. Verily, he is the owner of a great fortune." But those who had been given religious knowledge said, "Woe to you, the reward of Allah in the hereafter is better for those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and this none shall attain except those who are asabirun, the patient in following the truth." So we caused the earth to swallow him in his dwelling place. Then he had no group or party to help him against Allah, nor was he one of those who could save themselves. And those who had desired for a position like his position the day before began to say, "Know you not that it is Allah who enlarges the provisions or restricts it to whomsoever he pleases of his slaves? Had it not been that Allah was gracious to us, he could have caused the earth to swallow us up also. Know you not that the disbelievers will never be successful?"
Okay, thank you very much. So actually, sister, this is one of the famous stories which are mentioned in the Quran, a proof to every one of us that the end of every one of us is, in the grave. No one will take with him anything. These deceiving enjoyments of the worldly life are just transient enjoyments. This is Qarun, and actually Qarun is considered the richest man ever mentioned in the Quran, because Allah gave him treasures, the keys of the treasures. Try, sister, to imagine how his wealth was so great. I think more than any rich man who was created over the earth until the day of judgment, because the keys of the treasures were so heavy that a group of men cannot carry the key. Cannot carry the treasures. And these were treasures long, long time ago, so now they will be more and more expensive, and they will have many, many, many values. Their values will be more great. So try to imagine how this man was so rich. Try to imagine how Allah gave him a lot of wealth. Okay? But that man actually was very arrogant. Okay, so that she will always believe that Allah is not giving the wealth only for those whom He loves. Allah is giving the wealth in this life as a part of the worldly life test. He can give it to a true believer, and He can give it to a disbeliever. He can give it to a good human being, and He can give it to a very arrogant human being. All of this is part of the test of the worldly life. Qarun was extremely arrogant. Okay, and because of that, his people were always telling him, "Don't be so proud with your treasures. Okay, seek the worldly life. Okay, and also don't distribute corruption on the earth." Okay, but what was the answer of that arrogant person? He didn't admit that Allah is the one who gave him all these treasures. Rather, he said, "These treasures have been given to me only because of the knowledge I possess." And actually, this is the proof that he is not believing that Allah is the owner of all, the blessings. Allah is the one who can give. Allah is the one who can take. He is not believing in this. Okay? And he was always very arrogant with his treasures. Many people around him, they envied him. And they said, "Oh, we want treasures like Qarun." Qarun is the one whom he had the best luck in this life because of all these treasures. These are most of the human beings whom they are envious, ignorant, and true losers, as I clarified to you, because they don't know the truth. Okay? But those whom they have the knowledge, okay, they said to them, "The reward of Allah in the hereafter is better, okay, than all these treasures, because the reward of Allah is eternal. The reward of Allah is which we can never imagine. The reward of Allah will be with no troubles at all." Okay, what happened to that arrogant, extremely rich man? Allah caused the earth to swallow him and his dwelling place. This means that the earth swallowed him and all his treasures. So we must again, realize that if these treasures are of significance in the sight of Allah, Allah will not make the land or the earth to swallow all these treasures. But Allah sent him and his treasures, down, okay, and Allah made the earth to swallow him, a proof of the reality of the enjoyments of the worldly life, no significance in the sight of Allah. They can end in 1 minute and they are all dust at the end. So whenever you feel that I want to be part of the race of the worldly life. I want to be like most of the people, working day and night for the sake of the enjoyment of the worldly life. If sometimes you feel that you have envy towards the people around you because they have more enjoyments of the worldly life, just remind yourself of the story of Qarun. Tell to yourself, myself, even if Qarun was my neighbor or my friend whom I feel envy regarding his blessings, myself, remember what was the end for these blessings and for that very rich person. The earth swallowed him and his treasures in a second. Myself, I don't want to have envy towards anyone. Myself, I don't want to be the part of the rest of the worldly life. Myself, I don't want to waste the very precious time of my worldly life for enjoyments which have no significance in the sight of Allah. So yourself will tell you, so now I do with my life. You will tell to yourself, let us part of the race of the believers. Okay, so what is the meaning of the race of the believers? Okay, what is the reality of the race of the believers? What is the goal of those they are in the race of the believers? We will learn all of this in Surah number 57, verse number 21. الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض وعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم.
Race with one another in hastening towards forgiveness from your Lord Allah in paradise, the width whereof is as the width of the heaven and the earth, prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. That is the grace of Allah, which He bestows on whom He is pleased with, and Allah is the owner of great bounty.
Okay, so actually, sisters, Allah is mentioning to us in the Quran about the race of the believers. So whoever will come on the Day of Judgment and say to Allah, "Oh Allah, I don't know that there was a race for the believers in the Quran," Allah will mention to them about Surah number 57, verse number 21, which started with the word, "Race with one another in hasting towards forgiveness from your Lord and paradise." Okay, so again and again, sisters, when you race for the sake of Allah, for His forgiveness, so that Allah will make the paradise your final destination. This paradise is having the width of the heavens and the earth. Okay, you are not racing for nothing. You are not racing for something less than the worldly enjoyments. You are racing for the best of the best, which is the paradise having the width of the heavens and earth. Then Allah is mentioning prepared. You know, the paradise is prepared for those whom they believe in Allah and His messengers. So again, sister, the real race, okay, aims to win the greatest of all the prizes. Allah's forgiveness, which will make the gardens of the heavens. The paradise is the gardens of the heavens. It will be your final destination. This paradise, which is as vast as the heavens and the earth, prepared for the believers. Again, sister, Allah mentioned here in this verse of the Quran, this is the grace of Allah which He bestows on whom He is pleased with. So the paradise is only for those whom Allah is pleased with. So when you decide to be part of the race of the true believers, okay, be sure that you are one of the true believers whom Allah is pleased with. Because if you will have this race as the race of your worldly life, your final destination, inshallah, will be the paradise. Oh Allah, this is for all the human beings? No, this is not for all the human beings. This is not the golden server of the worldly life, which is for the disbelievers. No, the paradise is only for those whom Allah is pleased with, okay, because Allah is the owner of the great bounty. Okay? So again and again, sisters, if you want to prove to yourself that number one, inshallah, I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah. Number two, Allah is pleased with me. Try to be part of the race of the worldly life. Try to compete for the paradise. And this which Allah mentioned in Surah number 83, verse number 26. We will start from, we will read from Surah number 83. We'll start from verse number 18 and we will read to verse number 26. 18 to 26. Okay? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون صدق الله.
Nay, verily the record, the writing of the deeds of al-Abrar, highest believers of Islamic monotheism, is preserved in Iliyun. And what will make you know what Iliyun is? A register inscribed, to which bear witness those nearest to Allah, i.e. the angels. Verily, al-Abrar, the pious believers of Islamic monotheism, will be in delight, paradise, on thrones looking at all things. You will recognize in their faces the brightness of delight. They will be given to drink of pure sealed wine. The last thereof, that wine, will be the smell of musk. And for this let all those strive who want to strive. Hasten earnestly to the obedience of Allah.
You see, sisters, so Allah is clarifying to us that if we want to have a race, let us be in the race of those people whom they want to strive, those who strive for Allah's sake. Okay, Allah will reward them the paradise, and we learned about the paradise from these verses of the Quran. Again and again, Allah mentioned about the paradise and the enjoyments in the paradise in many verses of the Quran, so that everyone will be encouraged and will be convinced that I want to be in the race for the sake of the paradise, not for the sake of this transient enjoyment of the worldly life. How can I will be in that race? I must be a true believer in Allah. I must follow the right path. I must try to have my goal in this worldly life, not to collect money as I can, not to collect the best of the best, no. To live this life, you know, in a good shape. Again and again, sister, I need to clarify that Islam is not against living a good worldly life. But this is not the goal. You know, this is the means, okay, to obey Allah, to worship Allah in a good shape, so that the goal will be the paradise. If I have a good worldly life, this means I have a good house, clean house. It is not a very big one, but it is a good one where I have all my basic needs. If I have a car which is in a good shape, that is to say that it will help me to do all my requirements through that car. If, alhamdulillah, I have enough money to eat and to drink and to save some little money so that I will never be in need except for Allah. When I have a good health, which will help me to worship Allah, alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. When I will have these needs, okay, I will have my goal not to increase and increase of the best of the best. No, my goal now, so long all praise to Allah, I have my basic needs, alhamdulillah, my goal now is the race of the believers. What is the meaning of the race of the believers? The meaning is that I will try to use every minute of my life to do good deeds. Why good deeds, sister? Because when I do good deeds, I will be, number one, a good human being in this worldly life. When you tell me, Sister Mona, you have envy, I tell you, no, it is a sin. I cannot have sin. You have hatred, you have transgression, you have oppression, you have suspicion, backbiting, okay, pride, anger, never, sister. As I can. Why? Because all of this actually will be against the good deeds which I am trying to collect as much as I can, because this is the goal of my worldly life. When I have all these bad manners away from my heart, I will have a clean heart. I will have a good heart. I will have a heart full of compassion, full of mercy, full of care, full of support, full of love for the good for everyone. So I am the most happy person on the earth. Why? Because I am only busy with all what I, my concern. When you tell me, Sister Mona, do you remember the big house of that sister which we visited last week? I tell you, no, I can't remember. You tell me why? I tell you because, I am busy. Today I didn't clean my house. I have to go ahead and clean it. My daughter has an exam. I am not feeling well regarding my pain and my knee joints. I am busy with my responsibilities. Why I am busy with my responsibilities? Because they are the trust in this worldly life. Because I want Allah to be pleased with me, because I want to do as much as good deeds as I can. I don't have mind, I don't have heart, okay, to think of other people, to think of their blessings, to have envy towards them. No, sister, all praise to Allah. I am trying to be a true believer. I am trying to live the race for the paradise. So according to that race, I must have a good heart. I must do good deeds. I must be busy with my issues. And at the same time, sisters, instead of having envy and jealousy towards other Muslims, no, I can't. I am trying to help. I am trying to support. I am trying to forget. I am trying to forgive all of these sisters, because I am in the race of the good deeds. So I am trying to collect as much. All praise to Allah. When you are in the race of the believers, you must have a clean heart. Heart where envy has no place in it. Why? Because this is the heart full of faith. And as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, the believer heart cannot have envy and faith. If you have faith, inshallah, true belief, there will be no place for the envy. So I am in the race of the believers whom they have their true belief to occupy all their hearts, and there is no place for envy. So all the time, all praise to Allah, I am actually accepting all Allah's decrees. I am always thankful when I am in prosperity, and when I am I am thankful when I am in prosperity, and I am patient when I am in adversity. All praise to Allah. I am living my life with Allah. I have Allah in every minute of my life. I observe Him. I want Him to be pleased with me. This makes me all the time to race for the sake of the winners, the sake of the true believers. So, actually, sisters, in order to be in that race, okay, let us learn what we must compete for. Okay, if I am in the race of the believers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, envy is allowed in two cases. In case of a man whom Allah has given the Quran and who recites the Quran through night and day, and a man on whom Allah has bestowed wealth, who gives it away through the night and the day. And this is actually not envy, this is the competition. So if you want to be in the race of the true believers, you must compete with those whom they are living their life with the Quran, whom they want to spend for the sake of Allah. This is the competition. Okay, when you tell me, Sister Mona, did you have, you want to be better than someone or like someone? I tell you, yes, my goal in this life to be like this sister. You tell me why. She has the best car or whatever of the worldly enjoyments. I tell you, no, I am out of the race of the worldly enjoyment. This sister, mashallah, she is spending for the sake of Allah day and night. The other sister, mashallah, she's living with the Quran day and night. Those are the true believers whom they are in the race of the believers. I want to be one of those in the race of the believers, because I know the reality of the worldly life. Okay, so this is, sisters, in Islam called the competition. Islam permits competition, and Islam prohibits envy. Islam permits competition, okay, because that competition is not related to the enjoyment of the worldly life. Competition regarding the Quran and spending for the sake of Allah is the competition regarding the good deeds which will lead to the paradise. In conclusion, Islam does not want us to ignore the worldly life or to forget the duty requiring us to build the human life on the earth. The Muslim has the duty to build the life on the earth. Rather, Islam aims to guide us to have the good values and to have the good goals, not to waste our life suffering envy, hatred, worry, sadness, suspicion, despair of Allah's mercy, for the sake of the fleeting enjoyments of the worldly life, which can end at a moment and will lead to the great suffering in the hereafter. Rather, we must have the true belief to occupy our hearts, guiding us for the competition for the good deeds, competition for the good manners, patience, acceptance, compassion and forgiveness. This competition is the way to the happiness in this worldly life and the paradise. This is actually the competition and the race of the believers. Actually, there were two companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two closest to him, Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr is the one, the first one to rule the Muslim, the ruler after Prophet Muhammad, and Umar is the second ruler after Prophet Muhammad. These two companions, okay, the most important goal for them was to do good deeds. So they compete for giving for the sake of Allah. One day, Umar came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him, "I will give for the sake of Allah half of all what I own." So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asked him, "So what do you leave for your family?" He told him, "I left the other half of my wealth." At the same moment, Abu Bakr came and told to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, "I will give everything that I own to Allah and his messenger." So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asked him, "What have you left for your family?" Abu Bakr answered, "I have left Allah and his messenger for them." You see, sisters, so this is the right competition. This is the race of the true believers. They compete regarding the good deeds and earning the more reward in the hereafter. Let us try, sisters, to live, you know, the reality of the worldly life. Let us not be deceived like most of the people. Let us prove to ourselves that Allah is pleased with us. Let us try to compete for the good deeds, helping the needy, helping, you know, those whom they are handicapped, teaching those whom they are in need of to learn for the sake of Allah, obeying Allah in all His commands, fulfilling our trusts. Let us have a goal in our life, a goal which will make us always not worry, not upset, not sad. When all the people are the richest in this world, this is none of my business, because the worldly life is not my goal. The worldly life is my way to do the good deeds, so that inshallah my goal is there, my goal is not here. And actually, sisters, this what Allah the Almighty clarified, that this is not for everyone, this is only for special people. We will know about these special people from surah number 43, verse number 35. Then inshallah next week we will continue to learn about the ways to get the envy out of our hearts. So we will end with surah number 43, verse number 35. الرحمن الرحيم وإن كل ذلك ما متاع الحياة الدنيا والآخرة عند ربك للمتقين.
Yet all this, i.e. the roofs, doors, stairs, elevators, thrones of their houses, would have been nothing but an enjoyment of this world, and the hereafter with your Lord is only for the muttaqun.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. Jazakum Allah khair. And inshallah we will continue next week, and let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us to conduct and save us from our evil. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Ameen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Ameen. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.